Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's Wendy in for Bob today, and last we heard from Joseph Lindsley. Joseph, you were up in the mountains in Ukraine. Where are you now?
Wendy, great to speak with you again. I'm still in the mountains, in the Carpathian Mountains of Western Ukraine, these very green hills and mountains. And, you know, as I'm here, I think about the writings of a great British adventurer. His name was Patrick Leigh Fermor. He was famous. He died at age 96 in 2011, but he was famous for kidnapping a Nazi general in World War II on the island of Crete. But when he was 18 years old, he quit school, sailed to Holland, and he walked across Europe in the 1930s. And decades later, when he became a famous travel writer, he published these stories about walking through Europe. It was a trilogy. The first book was called A Time of Gifts. And here in the mountains, but here during the entire war since Russia's big invasion just over a year ago, his books are the only books I've read. It's sort of hard to, the books are sort of a comfort in this time to go back to something familiar. But the last part of his trilogy called The Broken Road is about walking through these Carpathian Mountains in the 1930s. And it's so astounding to, you can see, Europe was, there still was sort of a loveliness in Europe during that time, in peasant life, but there was something dark, a dark shadow looming throughout his journals when he was writing, traveling through Europe. And then as I read these descriptions of the Carpathian Mountains in the 1930s, Wendy, it's so similar to what I see around me today. And it is such a nice contrast with, I'm here for sort of a bit of a rest. I came here for a conference. But even last night at 3 o'clock this morning, Russian missiles were hitting Kharkiv. And so friends sent me video footage. We can hear the sound. And I had forgotten about that awful sound of the missile strike, because I've been surrounded by, here I cannot even hear the air raid alarm. You just hear the birds and the wolves and nature. And so it is, and I had so many Ukrainians before the war, they love coming to these mountains for a break, but especially now, including soldiers. And as I look around me, even now I look out the window and you have the comforts of modern life, which just really shows what a lovely country Ukraine is. I'm in this beautiful lodge. All electricity is generated by solar power, so it's very innovative and progressive. But still, life is old here, and people maintain the old traditions. You see people walking their cows. Corporate agriculture has not taken over Ukraine. Everyone eats local food. And, I've noticed, right now it's springtime, and my allergies normally, my whole life, whether I was in the desert of Israel or the Arctic in Sweden, I had terrible allergies. And here in Ukraine, since I've been here since the pandemic, I have no allergies. And even here in the countryside with the animals and the pollen, and I think it has to be because of the local food that everyone eats. And so there really is this great sustainability here. And in fact, next week, the British king will be in these same mountains. King Charles is going to the Carpathian Mountains, but of course, not on the Ukrainian side. He'll be just over the border in Romania. And he's also written about the great sort of sustainable life here and how there's a continuity to the past. And so I think here you see, 'cause so often, even with people who are sympathetic to Ukraine, we see reports that Ukraine is a poor country. And yeah, people, they don't, I think it's on paper, they don't make the incomes that you would see in the West, although that's been changing a lot in recent years. But people are attached to the land, and they're not in debt. And there is this great wealth and richness. Ukraine has built such a comfortable, lovely society. And all of that, of course, is under threat in these days.
I think you are quite possibly the only person who is reading about the Carpathian Mountains while being in them.
Yeah, well, it helps put this in historical context. And I had read those books years ago, and I just happened to be reading them. And then I said, oh, whoa, this is exactly where I am right now. And, even in this the splendid greenery here, the war is still close. As I mentioned, I heard the news from Kharkiv last night, and I was speaking last week. I was telling the audience here about my friend Goody, the British warrior who was wounded in battle. And I talked to him yesterday on the phone and got the horrible, you know, moment by moment detail. Over there, that was in Donbass, which is very different from the mountains. It's flat, fertile land, but it's very beautiful. And he was describing before the battle began, they're at their position. And he said that they were melting in the glorious sun. And he said he felt that he was in Ibiza, except for the fact that instead of being surrounded by sand, he was surrounded by dead Russian bodies. Ugh. And it was, it's awful. And then the Russians began firing at them at about 1 o'clock in the morning. He was right before the firing started. Goody was speaking with a Ukrainian medic who showed him a photo of his wife and daughter who are safely in London. And a couple hours later, that medic was killed. And then Goody described this moment when they all got hit horribly, and Goody was hit in the eye. And he said his mind told him, "Goody, you're dead." And I hear the story so often that the soldiers think they're dead, and maybe that's the body's protective mechanism, so you don't panic. You think it's already over. And then he said about a minute later, the pain went away, and he had this idea that it was the best day of his life. And they still had 3 to 4 hours. It's hard for them to keep track of time. They had to keep shooting and keep moving around until they were able to get to a safer position. And, you know, so as I sit here, you know, in this, you know, the splendid comfort, really, of these Ukrainian mountains, these horrible fights are going on every single day and every single night.
The Ukraine people are such an inspiration to all of us. I mean, we're just sitting here on the sidelines, and they're in it. It's so inspirational. Are you there as we wrap up here? We only have a few seconds here. Are you there in the mountains for safety reasons or just to get away from things for your own mind?
I came in for a conference of leading volunteers. You know, this is a good place to reorganize and to strategize. We had people from the Crimean Tartar population, and we came here to figure out better what, you know, people from all different groups working for victory. And I decided to stay here for a week just to take a rest before going back into, you know, whatever else might you know.
Yeah.
I hope to get back east soon. And there was a Belarusian fighter who's here working with Ukraine said these words today: "The best way to predict the future is to create it." And that's so much what I've seen here. You know, everyone, you know, but in order to do that, you have to have moments of rest to find energy to keep going.
Well, you reboot, and we will talk to you again tomorrow morning. We really appreciate this, Joseph.
Thank you, Wendy. Always good to speak with you.
You as well. Take good care.